Janie, strap yourself down back there. We're going for the burn.
She didn't have to tell me twice. I settled myself in and made sure I shifted my little gun to a side pocket before she fired the big engines again. There was a push from the acceleration, but it was nothing like the wrestling mat slam of takeoff. It went on for several minutes, and I was able to look out the small porthole near my head. The Earth rolled into view, enormous and blue. I had imagined it would look like the Universal Studios logo, the one with the little plane flying around it, but it was massive and so streaked with clouds I couldn't tell which continent was which right offhand. Anything I'd ever thought about or been afraid of or worried over disappeared in the first moment I saw it, and I knew how far above the rest of my life I finally was. But then it rolled out of view and my circular window filled with twice as many stars. And I remembered, I was in a hollow tube shooting through space. And some of my worries returned. I looked back up at Evelyn. Her hands moved from dial to dial with perfect confidence. Dr. Johnson figured rapidly on one of the biggest slide rules I'd ever seen. It would have been nice to have something to do at the moment. I hated being a passenger.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop! Burn complete. We're on our way.
I don't see the moon.
Who told you to get out of your seat?
I hear the engine stop, I get out.
We need a sign I can hold up that says fasten harness. When it's time for you to get up, I can take it down.
Only I bet you wouldn't take it down. Where's the moon?
On the other side of the Earth.
Shouldn't we be heading for it?
We're not heading to where the moon is now. We're heading to where it will be in 3 days.
But the moon keeps moving, Captain. If it is not Dresden...
I get the picture. So, now what? We coast?
Exactly. But there's no friction, so we won't slow down. We're traveling at almost 3,000 meters per second. In the past half hour, we've broken almost every record on Earth.
A shame nobody knows. Are we in contact with Earth?
I thought we would be. On short wave, at least.
Something might have happened to the radios on takeoff. Tubes are delicate. We have some spares, so we can check later. But it might be the radiation belt. It might just not be possible for radio waves to penetrate to the Earth.
So, we're on our own.
For the most part. One of the reasons for starting construction on the X-3 was to have a rescue ship ready in case something went wrong.
How soon will that be ready to fly?
Are you afraid, Captain?
Let's say I'm really, really curious.
It depends on how fast Lansky's people work. And judging from what I've seen of Lansky's people so far, it might be a while.
She was right about that. Poor Johnny might as well have been nicknamed Fingerless for all the good he was doing. Not that we weren't pleased with the state of things. At least I had a perceived use later in the mission. This guy was just a potentially dangerous nuisance. And it didn't get any better as the hours stretched into days. Because of my basic first aid training in the Army, I was elected to set him up with a saline IV so he wouldn't dehydrate. Only we discovered that drops don't drip in zero gravity, so I had to periodically squeeze the bag to get any into him.